Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Pastor Kamwi, good afternoon to you, sir.
How are you, sir?
Man of God. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm okay.
Fantastic. Has your day been good?
Hello?
Has your day been good, Pastor?
No, it has been okay.
That's good. Great stuff there. Now, the law of God is what we're going to be talking about. And of course, often referred to as the Ten Commandments, or some would refer to it as the Decalogue in religious circles. But there are many beliefs about the interpretation and enforcement of God's law. And we will be learning more about the truth this very week. And so, let's start off with the first things first. Where did God's law actually come from?
Thank you so much. I would love to welcome our listeners to Adventist World Radio, even as we go through a very interesting subject, the law of God,
which
has brought a lot of questions. And I think as we are going through this lesson, we'll find some answers to those questions. And the first one, which says, where did the law of God come from? The law of God is of eternal existence.
Yeah.
Just like it is said that, it is a transcript of God's character. So the law defines who God is. And if God is eternal, meaning even the law is eternal. If God is unchangeable, meaning even the law is unchangeable.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it is from eternity to eternity. It has been there. Even when God gave it to Moses on Mount Sinai, the law of God existed. No wonder when Lucifer sinned, he sinned against the law, because without the law, there's no transgression. So, meaning it has been there, even angels before Mount Sinai, even angels were required to keep the law of God, because it's the foundation of God's government.
Yeah, true.
God has been there in existence from eternity past, meaning even the law of God has been there. Even when mankind came into picture, when God created Adam and Eve, and he gave them something to obey in the Garden of Eden. To me, that was not the first thing.
Yeah.
The law of God has been there, and, it has been in short, it is of eternal ages, just like God is eternal.
Now, you're saying, so effectively, you would say it was instituted in eternity.
Yes.
But then, didn't it then start when God gave it to Moses, the tablets of stone, when it was written by God's
hand? When God gave it to Moses, no wonder some of the law would remind them, like the Sabbath law. Says, remember the Sabbath day.
You
can't be reminded on something which is new, which has just come into existence. For God to say, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, it means that it had been there. For the children of Israel, when they were in captivity, with them, we know they had forgotten the law of God because of the environment in which they were operating. They were in slavery. There was no time to worship God, no time to obey. No wonder one of the reasons why God called them from the land of captivity into going to Canaan, to the promised land. The Bible say he wanted them to offer a true sacrifice for him. And to me, was to worship him and him alone, because in the land of captivity, they were worshiping idols. So now that he has rescued them from the land of bondage, they are on their way. He sees it cardinal. He reminds them to say, no, there is this that you had forgotten. Hence giving Moses the Ten Commandments. It was not, they didn't just come there and then into existence. They have been there. No wonder, even before Mount Sinai, the Bible quotes Abraham to say, he kept my statutes and my law.
And my law. Yeah, yeah, true, true, true. Now, since its inception from eternity, has the law of God been altered or amended? Because we do know that these things, they improve over time. I mean, legislations improve over time. Laws get improved by, you know, countries and companies, etc. everywhere. All the time they get improved and amended for the better. Has the law of God also gone through such?
Thank you so much for such a very interesting question. Yeah, the law of God has stood the test of time. And the only reason I can give is because it was written by God himself.
I see.
Who had seen me the future from the past. So he covered, you know, all the question mark that the law would face along the way when he was giving it to Moses or when he instituted it from inception. So since the law of God is the reflection of God's character, its principles are not temporal or situational, but absolute.
Okay.
Unchangeable and of permanence. No wonder when he gave it to Moses, he didn't write it on the piece of paper. He wrote it on the tablet of stone. To me, the stone denotes permanence.
Permanence, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no wonder God, you know, when he giving it to Moses, he ensured that he wrote it with his own handwriting. And he didn't use something temporal. He used a stone denoting permanence. So the law of God stands a test of time. It has been there. It is there. And it will be there even in eternity. Unchangeable. No wonder even Jesus Christ confirms in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, by saying, I have not come to change the law. Or to abolish the law, but I've come to fulfill. Even Jesus Christ, when he was, you know, knelt on the cross, to me, he was just simply obeying the law of God, even to the point of death. Because at some point, he felt, you know, the struggle of sin. Yeah, he felt the pain, the agony because of what he was going through. And at some point, he had wished to say, let this cup pass. Then because even in death, he was to obey his father. He said, not my will, but let your will be done. Yeah. So when Christ was knelt on Calvary's mountain, in some way, he was knelt to obey his father. He didn't go there to do his own will. So the law of God is the will of God.
Yeah, it is indeed the will of God. Now, can parts of the law, Pastor, be debated depending on the situation? For example, you know, thou shalt not kill except if it's in self-defense or if it's in a war. Can we try and reason? I mean, God, after all, says, come, let us reason together. In this instance, I think, can we also?
Reasoning with God on his law, unless if we are seeking forgiveness, when he says, come and let us reason together, he's calling his people to get back to him by you know, starting afresh with him, not continuing in disobedience, no. So to me, there is no excuse to sin. Yeah, even when our forefathers sinned, you know, they tried that one by accusing each other. When Adam was asked, he said, the woman that you created, the woman also, the serpent that you created. So, but at the end of the day, they faced the consequences of disobeying God. So to me, there is no excuse to sin. If the law which says, thou shall not kill, was given by the same God who said, thou shall not steal. So, that just like I stated that the law is unchangeable, it's absolute. So its permanence is very dated.
Yes, Pastor?
Yes. So to me, we cannot negotiate. When he calls us to reason with him, He wants us to make things right with him.
Yes, indeed.
Not that we continue in our sin, that God is going to wink and understand.
Beautiful. Well, Pastor, I think this was the first, of the many conversations we're going to be having towards the end of the week. And I think this was the introductory, chat that we're having, that just to understand the law of God. So lastly, before we let you go, at what point is it going to come to an end? When he comes again? Or it is going to be eternally, even in heaven?
When he comes again, he is just coming to review and, to restore that which he had, put in the Garden of Eden before man sinned. So when he comes back, just like I quoted to say, the law of God is permanent and it's of eternal ages. Even in eternity, we are going to keep the law of God.
Even in eternity?
After we are saved. Even in eternity.
Is that...
after we are saved.
Is that now in eternity after the New Jerusalem and all?
Yes.
Oh, is it? Because there's issues there like thou shalt not kill, etc. I thought those things would have gone passed away already.
Of course, they will not affect us. But that's not the only law which is there. The introduction, in fact, introduces God as the creator of the heavens and the earth, and he has to be worshipped.
Yeah, but I think we need to
alone.
Delve a little.
So
bit. Yes.
So the law of God is eternity. In eternity, we are going to obey God because He will be our King.
Yeah.
To me, there is no governance without a law.
So basically, you are saying the law of God may exist, but maybe not in its current format. Because I shudder to think that in eternity we'll still be thinking about adultery, we'll still be thinking about killing, we'll still be thinking about stealing, and all of those things.
Oh yeah, part of the law will be there. Because it's a foundation of God's governance.
Yeah.
So as long as we'll be governed by God Himself, so the law of God will be there. It's only that that time it will not be as it is today when we are in sin. We appreciate it. We understand it on that level because we shall be saved.
Yeah. True.
And it will remind us of where we are coming from, and it will put a difference.
Indeed, it will actually put a difference
when we compare this world of sin and the new world. So, to me, it is on the throne of God. The law of God is on the throne of God, and as long as God reigns, we'll be reminded of His law.
Oh yes, indeed. I believe that is true. We'll always be reminded of the law of God. And truly, 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 and perhaps not in its current form. However, we will still be under the subjects of God's law. Well, Pastor, thank you so much for this lesson. I hope that we will be able to connect with you again tomorrow at the same time and also the same place.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Blessings, Pastor. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.